If you've been shopping for your Thanksgiving meal, chances are you've noticed higher prices. So what impact are President Trump's tariffs having on your holiday grocery bill? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss the impact of tariffs is former Cincinnati mayor and a member of the board of directors for the Club for Growth, Ken Blackwell. Thanks so much for being here.
Good to be with you, Lucy.
Great to have you. So many of our listeners will remember you as a former Cincinnati mayor. You also led President Trump's domestic issues transition team for his first term. Who are you speaking on behalf of today?
I'm speaking on behalf of a grocery shopper and a member of the Club for Growth and someone who understands the impact of tariffs as a former treasurer of the state of Ohio. I could go on, but that's the capacity that I'm speaking for today. And I understand what the president is doing with his application of tariffs, but I'm also an advisor that encourages him to make sure that the tariffs are used as tools, not as doctrine, and that we use surgical tools instead of sledgehammers when that's most appropriate to get his desired results.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the tariff strategy you were advising the president on?
Well, look, tariffs that punish cheaters like China, but ease them where they punish our people, it's the balance that I want to make sure that our strategy is being applied to. Use tariffs to crack down on foreign cheaters, and don't use them where manufacturers don't have a capacity to produce. And that's the case with tinplate, which is how a lot of our foodstuffs are put on the grocery shelves, whether that's baby formula, soups, pork and beans, etc. And so what the use is to make sure that we have the proper use of tariffs is to make sure that we have a free trade and level playing field in the global marketplace.
You mentioned the tinplate tariff. I know that applies to tariffs on steel and aluminum. They've historically been referred to as the tinplate tariff. How is that affecting manufacturers who produce canned goods? And is that having a particular impact on Thanksgiving prices?
We don't have the capacity to produce the tinplate that we need right now in the U.S. And that's where the president's strategy for expanding our manufacturing base, even the playing field, is important. But in that transition period, the tinplate capacity to produce tinplate is not there. To double tax tinplate doesn't make sense to the American consumer, because it probably can increase the cost of goods in an appreciable way, 3, 4, 5, 7%. And that's something that we need to make sure that we address. And that's why, for those who are listening, they could go to stopthecantax.com and get a deeper explanation of that. What I've tried to do is to make sure that folks who are followers of the whole strategy of economic growth and expansion and free trade and fair trade understand that this takes a surgical tool approach, not a sledgehammer.
So is it possible to ramp up domestic production of steel and aluminum to kind of address that problem?
Well, that's a good question. Look, the president understands that you have a lot of capital sitting offshore that can be infused in our economy. And the way that you do that is to understand that capital seeks the path of least resistance and greatest opportunity. So his whole strategy at lowering taxes, reducing red tape, that is attractive to capital. That will expand business investment, job creation, and income lift for American workers. So that's his strategy, his overall strategy of getting us growing at a clip that can give us those results is a great strategy. Our advocacy now is that as we even the playing field, we use a more surgical tool in tariffs to make sure that we're not cutting off our nose in spite of our face. And I think by either exempting or substantially lowering the cost of template, we in fact can make that consistent. That would make our approach to template consistent with our affordability strategy that the president is as good at as anybody that I've ever witnessed.
Well, the Department of Agriculture says the price of a wholesale turkey is going to be 40% higher this year than last year. Clearly, bird flu plays a role in that. But what about tariffs? Are tariffs affecting those prices, too?
You can't isolate that. And again, I've heard different different assessments of what's driving the cost of food. I mean, look, when the president came in, as I mentioned before, he understood that the escalating cost of energy and gas had an impact on fertilizer. When you, in fact, had that impact on fertilizer, you have that impact on the cost of a whole lot of foodstuffs that affect the American consumer's pocketbook. This is a tool chess. And I think you have to understand, as I think most major players do, that his strategy of expanding the economy, lifting incomes, and making sure that we have free and fair trade is the strategy that will make food more affordable again. He inherited a mess from the Biden administration, and anybody who understands economic growth understands that his policies are just now starting, meaning the president's policies are just now starting to have an impact. There's been an overhang of the ridiculous policies of the Biden administration, which in fact drove inflation. We had too much money following and chasing too few goods. And that is why it's so important that we in fact begin to produce our, increase our capacity here at home to make sure that we're producing enough goods and we reduce spending so that we in fact can lower, keep the inflation down. And do things that uplift the incomes of American families and job opportunities. It's a complete package. And so this president, I think, and we will see that his policies will, in fact, make American life for families more affordable again.
Well, President Trump did campaign on a promise to lower prices. Are we seeing that?
Yeah, we're seeing it at the gas pump. We're seeing it in the price of some foodstuffs. And we, in fact, will see it with the uplift and expansion of our economy, job creation, the uplift of incomes and the reduction of inflation. Yes. You know, and look, the president's team is comprised of a lot of pros. We understand that we, in fact, bought a jalopy. We inherited a jalopy from Biden, but we now own the future. And I think the president's strategy and the results of that strategy will impact the 2026 elections. Not only economists, but everyday families will give the president credit as we go into 2026 for that uplift in the economic life of this country and especially the workers.
And when you say the Trump administration inherited a jalopy, what do you mean by that?
I mean that we, in fact, inherited escalating inflation. We, in fact, had an expansion of the welfare state. We just saw too much spending, as I mentioned, too many dollars following too few goods. Things that were responses in the COVID crisis were being positioned as permanent fixtures in the American economy. And it was a real threat to our market economy approach that the president established in his first term that, in fact, was only knocked off track with the advent of COVID.
You just mentioned that you think that the president's policies are beginning to work, his promise to lower prices, that's beginning to work. A lot of people are still seeing very high grocery bills when they go shopping. What do you think could or should be done to ease that financial burden for consumers?
What we were just mentioning, I think the president needs right now to look at a prudent strategy to lower the cost of tinplate, and which is a specialty of steel, where we don't right now in our country have the manufacturing base to produce what we need. And I think he is going to approach that surgically, and that will have a very positive impact, just as the cost of dropping the cost of gas, which impacts fertilizer, and fertilizer impacts the production and the growth of foodstuffs and beef. And so these things don't overnight happen, but I think, and I would disagree with the first premise. I think that there is substantial evidence that while the price of some foodstuffs has continued to rise, there are others that have come down, and that while groceries are still too high, particularly based on the income levels that we have had eaten away by high inflation, that it's going to take a combination of things to help us realize that the prices are moving in the right direction, just not fast enough. And so that getting that acceleration is going to be very, very important. And that's why I think you'll see the president, as he already has done, is to use tariffs as a surgical tool, not as a sledgehammer.
Do you think President Trump will make any other changes to his approach with tariffs this year?
Quite naturally, yes. And I think he's already made those moves. I mean, he and his economic team are constantly in negotiation with foreign actors, as well as listening to our manufacturers here in the United States in terms of their capacity. His goal is to expand our manufacturing capacity. Much too much of it has been seeded elsewhere outside of our borders. And so his strategy to expand manufacturing capacity here in the States, that will in fact increase jobs, beat down inflation, and as a consequence, make living in America more affordable again.
Well, I have been talking with Ken Blackwell, a former mayor of Cincinnati and a member of the board of directors for the Club for Growth. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we hear from a local professor of supply chain management. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our discussion about the impact of tariffs on the prices we pay at the grocery store. Joining me now to explain the economic data is Miami University Associate Professor of Supply Chain Management, Henry Jin. Welcome back to the program, Henry.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Always great to talk with you. So we just heard Ken Blackwell talking about using tariffs as tools, not doctrines, so that they're largely being used to punish cheaters, like in his view, China. Do you have a sense for who's feeling the brunt of the president's tariffs?
Well, you know, when it comes to tariffs, there are only so many ways for companies to deal with them. They have to pay the tariffs in order to import from foreign suppliers. And in some instances, companies choose to just absorb it in their margins. And, you know, as in they will take less profit, but eventually, more often than not, they will have to raise their prices to their customers, and eventually that'll make their way down to the consumers.
Okay. Ken Blackwell also made references to using a surgical approach rather than a sledgehammer approach with tariffs. From what you've seen in the economic data, how everything's turning out, how would you characterize the president's approach with these tariffs?
So based on what I've seen, I think what our current administration has been doing is largely trying to see, okay, let's first implement the broad tariffs and see what are some of the specific responses, and then let's fine tune from there. I mean, after all, we've been in a multi-decade swing towards free trade by reducing trade barriers like tariffs. And it's a low tariff or no barrier to trade has been largely this doctrine that we've embraced so much that we no longer have visibility to what happens if we raise tariffs in specific categories. And so in that regard, I think so far the tariff policy have been applied more broadly than what Ken would prefer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about the impact of tariffs on prices. If you have questions or comments, you can call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Henry Ken Blackwell also said, quote, capital seeks the path of least resistance and greatest opportunity, end quote. Are you seeing signs that these tariffs are bringing back manufacturing and manufacturing jobs to the U.S.?
You know, yes and no. As Ken said, and he made a lot of really good points in the conversation with you, capital does seek the path of least resistance and the greatest potential returns. And so where we have seen in the manufacturing sector are some of the higher margined products coming back or areas of greatest need where there's a concerted effort to de-risk our supply chain. So, you know, for instance, we have a new graphite manufacturing center going online in Tennessee that's going to provide us with 20,000 tons of graphite, which up to this point, we have been totally dependent on importers.
Interesting. How complicated is it to bring manufacturing back to the U.S.? I mean, I imagine it varies from industry to industry.
Yeah. For some industries, the more process intensive, the ones that are highly dependent on factories, capital equipment, and don't forget a highly skilled workforce in the production process. Those will be the great industries with the greatest difficulty in getting jobs back.
What about the tin plate tariff specifically? We talked quite a bit about that in our last discussion. What impact is that having on prices?
Yeah, so, you know, everything we have, if you go to a grocery store, you know, almost 90% of all the items we see on the shelves, even if they're not packaged in tin cans, tin or steel and aluminum have played some role in their supply chain. And so in that regard, our taxes on our so-called tin can taxes are really more aligned with what Ken Blackwell characterized as more of a blunt instrument instead of a surgical tool. And so as a result, a lot of the prices that we have seen that have been going up in stores can be attributed, at least in part, to the tin can tax.
Have you seen any indications that the Trump administration, might exempt or lower the cost of the tin plate tariff? I know, obviously, that's what Ken Blackwell's advocating for. I didn't know if you'd seen any movement there.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged issue here because on the one hand, steelmaking is something that is symbolic of an industrialized country. If we cannot make our own steel, then we would be at the mercy of any foreign actor to be able to produce some of the most vital components, not just in our supply chain, but in our national infrastructure. And so the number one thing to recognize is that the tariffs applied onto our steel and aluminum, on the one hand, yes, it is trying to level the playing area, but on the other hand, it is also designed to make a concerted investment to restore our steelmaking capacity. And so in that regard, I think the administration is looking at ways to be able to balance the need in bringing back our steelmaking capacity with a consumer price alleviation.
Sounds like a tricky balancing act.
Oh, absolutely. It is very tricky.
Yeah. Well, there have also been some contradictory information put out in the past few weeks about Thanksgiving prices. It seems like depending on who you're talking to or what source you're looking at, sometimes it looks like prices are up and then other times it looks like prices are down. When it comes to tariffs, are they having an effect on Thanksgiving prices at the grocery store?
Well, yes and no. In some categories that are heavily dependent on imports, especially like fruits, seasonal fruits and veggies, we're definitely seeing more of tariff impact because, you know, for instance, in the Midwest, we're way past growing season for a lot of fresh vegetables, right? But on the other hand, when you look at price of turkey, the entire poultry industry just dealt with a severe bout of bird flu. And the bird flu is non-discriminate. It requires a producer to cull entire flocks, even if one bird is positive for bird flu. And so when we take a look at the store prices, you will see that wholesale price has increased. But on the other hand, we are also past the bird flu phase, and retailers don't always fully pass through their wholesale costs onto consumers, especially in this current environment when consumers are becoming more and more aware of inflation on everything they want to buy. And so a lot of retailers have adopted more of a loss leader mentality with their turkeys. And so they would actually sell their turkey at below cost in order to draw consumers in and hope that consumers would spend enough in other categories that are more profitable to make up for the losses to take on turkey.
Hmm. You mentioned bird flu. Is the price of feed, can that be a factor? If feed is shipped in from overseas or has components that come from overseas, could that affect prices for turkeys also?
Yeah, so if that goes into the whole agriculture supply chain, and if we talk about fertilizer, so Ken Blackwell did mention fertilizer, we do have the raw ingredients to make a lot of fertilizer that we need to fertilize our soil to grow our crops, but a lot of the production capacity are no longer available. And it takes about 3 to 5 years to bring new plants up and running. And this is where we're dependent on Canada for a lot of fertilizer import, like potash and phosphate. We're pretty good at making our own nitrogen-based fertilizer, but that only does so much without the other fertilizer inputs. And so the short answer here is yes. It's all the current inflation prices we see are almost like death by a thousand paper cuts. It's, you know, 0.1% here, 0.2% there. Individually, consumers may not notice, but when collectively all of them come in at the same time, which goes back to Ken Blackwell's point that tariffs have a place, but they should be used surgically and not bluntly. And if we use them bluntly, this is where the death by a thousand cuts, paper cuts come in, that 0.1%, 0.2%, they all happen at the same time. Whereas using tariffs as a surgical tool, 0.1%, 0.2% individually, consumers may not notice. And quite frankly, businesses have enough operational and supply chain levers to be able to pull to offset some of these smaller increases.
This is obviously such a complex topic, but just generally, are grocery prices lower now than when President Trump took office, or are they higher? Is that a hard question to answer?
I can say that the rate of price increase had come down since President Trump entered office. When we talk about prices going down, we're talking about deflation, and that is actually more damaging than low levels of inflation. So in that regard, since President Trump had come in office, his administration, along with our Federal Reserve, had the net effect of all their policies have been that the food at home prices, the rate of increase had come down. But they're still hovering right around 2.5 to 2.9%. Which is above what the general 2% level that the Federal Reserve likes to see.
I see. So we don't want prices to crash because deflation is not good, but people are still feeling it because the increase is still happening, even if it's not happening at a higher rate. What about gas and energy prices? How are those looking now as compared to when President Trump took office?
So energy prices, that's a good news, right? Energy prices, gas price has definitely come down. I don't think the price of electricity has yet. Depending on how we deal with our electricity generation capacity here on out, especially in light of all the AI data centers coming online, those AI data centers, they consume so much more electricity that our energy production capacity may be outstripped by AI data center demand.
Hmm. So Mr. Blackwell also made the case that because of President Trump's policies, prices are moving in the right direction, just not fast enough. Does that match up with what you're seeing in the data?
So overall, our rate of inflation has definitely come down. Part of that is can be attributed to President Trump's policies in the sense that with a lot of the tariff uncertainty, a lot of businesses have basically been frozen in place. They're not sure whether they should expand their domestic capacity. They're not sure if they're going to hire more people. And as a result, you have less money flowing through the economy. And at the same time, we also have a higher interest rate than in recent years, courtesy of the Federal Reserve's interest rate hike cycle that is only starting to come down. A lot of that, combining President Trump's policies as well as Federal Reserve's policies, they've been draining a lot of the excess money. I know what Ken Blackwell mentioned as during the COVID-19 pandemic, that we have too much money chasing too few goods. So by draining the extra money in the economy, we're seeing lower demand than before. And as a result, prices did come down, at least the rate of increase did come down.
Okay. Well, you know, we also talked with Ken Blackwell about possible additional changes to President Trump's tariff policies. It sounds like you're saying that there's been a bit of a, you know, dipping the toe in the water to see which tariffs are working the way the administration wants them to, and then some changes made as a result of that. What kind of impact do changes like that have on U.S. businesses and consumers?
Well, so first, I do want to recognize that our President Trump is sensitive to what consumers are saying, especially, for instance, with coffee, right? At the time when a 50% tariff was announced on Brazil, suddenly the price of Arabica coffee, which is really the good coffee beans that we all enjoy, prices of that started to go up dramatically. And so seeing that, the as well as general consumer discontent, the pro-Trump administrations, they did announce that, hey, we're going to explore ways to reduce these costs to offer alleviation to consumers without necessarily giving up tariff as a policy tool. And I think a lot of these announcements do align with what Ken Blackwell is saying, as the administration is fine-tuning the tariffs to become more of a surgical instrument.
Is that complicated for businesses, though, when they don't know what to expect from month to month or week to week?
Absolutely. This kind of goes back to earlier when I mentioned a lot of businesses, they don't know whether to expand capital production capacity. Part of that is because if they need to invest capital, they need to look for the most lucrative part of the supply chain to invest in capital. But if the tariffs are going to be on again, off again, then businesses would take a look at it and say, well, if I make capital investment in a factory further up along the supply chain that we currently depend on imports, if the tariffs were to come down, suddenly the basis for which I made my capital expansion is now gone. So, but on the other hand, if I want to invest my capital in an industry that is further down the supply chain, that are more dependent on imports, well, I can't right now because I have no idea if tariffs are going to stay. And it's at the same time, the Supreme Court is also going through this IEEPA court case challenge, right? If the Supreme Court rules against the Trump administration, then a lot of the universal tariffs that were announced under the IEEPA would go away. And so businesses are really, right now, they're stuck. They have no idea what the near future is other than, well, you know, AI. That's why we see a lot more AI investment than anything else.
Well, another thing that Ken Blackwell talked about is the kind of economy that President Trump inherited from the Biden administration. He talked about escalating inflation, expansion of the welfare state, too much spending, this making COVID policies permanent. Just what kind of economy did the Trump administration inherit?
You know, simply put, Ken Blackwell was not wrong. When the Trump administration stepped in, it is exactly as he said, we had a lot of money chasing too few goods. Some of the Biden administration's policies were well-intended. The net effect ended up being that it incentivized more people to stay home than to go out to look for jobs or to take jobs. And as a result, it pushed wage up, which initially it was great until prices also increased to offset some of those wage increases. At the same time, a lot of the other consumers who were working through COVID ended up being collateral damage because all they see is that prices are going up and they didn't necessarily benefit a whole lot beyond the money that was given to them in the form of stimulus. And so, in essence, when the Trump administration came in, we were coming down from a recent record inflation. And to what extent the Trump administration brought this down, the complexity inherent in a lot of the fiscal and monetary policies and the way they interact makes it rather difficult to say. But the net effect is, I agree with Ken Blackwell.
Well, this is always so complicated. You'll always help us untangle all these complicated issues. It has been such a pleasure to talk with you. I've been talking with Miami University Associate Professor of Supply Chain Management, Henry Jin. Thank you so much for your time today. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you for having me, Lucy. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Thank you. Up next, we'll hear how the community is working together to address food insecurity. This is Cincinnati Edition.